Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Jasari's Love Show. I am so excited to be here. I am extremely thankful and grateful to be able to be with you today. I missed you last week, and I hope you actually missed me last week. We had a family emergency, and so I was the designated person to take care of that based on the message I received from my creator. I am Jasari's Love, Cynthia Jahi, and I am excited to be with you every day, to be alive and to be able to speak, to be able to listen, to be able to consciously think, to be able to research, to be able to just take in a good deep breath and expand my limbs, my arms and legs. Every day to be able to roll out of bed. Every day to be able to actually say and think, thank you. Every day to be able to look out the window and step outside and feel the breeze and feel the sun, you know, see the moon and the stars. It's just something to be thankful for. I welcome you to the Jasari's Love Show. I'm so thankful that you have taken the time to be on my show. This is part of the Home-Based Business 101 platform created many, many years ago by my husband, the creator. Our God sent a message to him to do this show, to share with people what he was experiencing as a home-based business owner, as a home-based business owner, as well as tax tips and to help nonprofits. Everything we do is just sharing what we've experienced, what has worked for us, what has not worked for us, and for you to make the choices to see what things you what will help you in your life. And we pray that we can be a blessing to you. My husband is Sitawa Jahi, and we've been married for 30 wonderful years, very exciting, interesting life together. You know, we've had our performing arts company, Movements Unlimited Performing Arts Company, and many, many children in our home in Baltimore City, the different places we lived, in our culture center, the Rosner Heights Culture Center. We've worked with children as young as 4 years of age, and we've worked with people as old as in their 80s, our senior citizen program. And we've done performances. We've shared a lot about our African-American culture. We are based in the Nguzu Saba, which was created by Dr. Mylana Karenga. And we use that. Those are the principles that are used for the Kwanzaa holiday, which is celebrated at the end of December. And we believe that the things that we share is for everybody. It's for everybody. Because it's important for white people, and for Caucasians, to know what it is that some groups of people practice. Maybe they have a better appreciation and understanding. It's important for people who may be from India or any of the other European countries or Asian cultures. Just anybody from anywhere around the world, South America, the islands, Greenland, Iceland, it doesn't matter. I had a good conversation the other day with a young man who traced his ancestry to Ireland and Scotland. And the conversation started because he had a tattoo on his arm, and this tattoo seemed kind of interesting to me. I am not really into tattoos. I don't have any, and I do not plan on having any. However, I was interested. I saw that it seemed as though it was a tattoo that meant something really, really powerful and positive. And it did. It had to do with his heritage, his Irish heritage. And he had not been to Ireland, just like I have not been to the mother country, motherland, continent of Africa. But it's on my bucket list, and I'm moving it up on my bucket list so that I can get there sooner than I've been kind of had it on my calendar. This has been moving around. So that's something that I will make happen, my husband and I. So I'm really excited again to be here with you. You know, the topic has been peace. And peace, P-E-A-C-E, is very important for some people on the planet. It is felt in many ways And I'm very, very cautious about this word TEACE because for some people it means at any means necessary. They will do anything to you to get teeth, if that means shutting you down, you know. If it means killing someone, some people will kill for peace. Some people have peace in their life, so they think anyway, because they have total control over other groups of people. They are oppressing other people. So they may feel like it's peace, you know, like telling someone to shut up and be quiet so that they can have peace, but it's not a harmonious peace. So I seek peace through harmonious methods, things in which everybody involved are happy and welcoming and satisfied, and there is love, there's joy, there's gentleness in how we experience our peace. Everybody, it's a win-win situation for everybody and as many things as possible. When I say body, I mean people, or all the living things, which could be animals, you know. Some people have peace, but they kick their dog out the house, you know, and they're like, get out of this house. But they, you know, they have the dog. They wouldn't got the dog. The dog wouldn't just, you know, move into the house and create a place. So it's peace where it's a win-win situation with all living things. And so it could be peaceful plants, you know, not destroying the plants because you want a certain thing, you know. And so we don't even realize sometimes how we're disrupting and not, instead of creating peace, we have created chaos down the road somewhere along the line. And we're going to be talking about those issues as time goes on. And I'm really taking my time, you know, with this, and I hope that you can listen to it live, but if not, just listen to it in the archives when you get a chance, when you're in the mood to hear what I have to say, when you're in the mood of hearing the opinions, the thoughts, the experiences of Just Sorry's Love. And I'll be thankful for that, that you considered my opinion and my train of thought. This week, I'm talking still about personal peace, and I have been taking my brother, Terry, to the doctors for the last month or so. He is, and we'll keep him in prayer, battling or getting treatment for cancer. And so I had to go to the doctors. Well, I chose to go to take him to the doctors yesterday. He was admitted to have some an operation on his leg. And I'm sharing it with you because of the fact that I found a lot of peace in that. And, you know, someone asked me, they said, hey, you've been there all day? You go to spend a day there? You've been there since like 6 in the morning? And I think when I spoke to the person, it was like 4 in the afternoon. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, my brother needed to go to the doctor. He's having a major operation, and I wanted to be there so that he knew that someone from the family was there and so that I could hold his hand, I could talk to him, I could pray with him, and I could sit and be there if they needed to consult anyone for anything. I would be right there, not stressing over the phone. And I realized that there are times when you don't have that choice. You may be in another state. Your schedule may not allow you to do that, right? I got that. But my schedule did allow me to do that. I was not in another state, in which usually I'm in the state of North Carolina or New Orleans, but I was here. I was here in the state of Maryland, in the city of Baltimore, where my brother lives. And I was able to see, forecast, and predict and plan that I could arrange my schedule so that I could spend the day with him. For peace, I took my books that give me peace. I took my daily bread. I always like to read something out of daily bread. And I don't, you know, necessarily apply everything or all the messages don't always seem to be something that I can understand right then and there. But I still utilize that as a reading material. Then I had my John D. LeMay book so that I could read positive instant affirmations. And so things such as, like, I am getting healthier every second. And I could tell my brother, repeat this here. I'm getting healthier every second. I'm getting healthier and stronger every second. And those are some of the affirmations that John D. LeMay, spelled D-I-L-E-M-M-E, that he has. And so I used his book. And then I had the information from Og Mandino. So I had my reading material. I found a magazine with Oprah in it. Actually, it was Oprah's magazine, O. And I also had my crochet. I had my journal with me so I could do some writing. So I had a backpack, and I had my Movements Unlimited pocketbook, and I had packed a snack and a lunch because I was in. I was all the way in for that day. The hospital, as you know, when you're there, they're very cold as far as the temperature. So I had on an extra little pair of pants under my regular pants. I had on a undershirt and a turtleneck. And, yes, it's like 90 degrees outside, but let me tell you something. It's like 40 degrees inside those hospital rooms, okay? So now you could go in with your short sleeves and your shorts on and be trying to figure out why you are cold all day in the hospital when you already knew that it was going to be cold there. So preparation is always good. And I've been to the hospital with enough family members and friends, especially family members, to know that if you're going to be there for over 2 hours, it is best to dress, you know, appropriately. I'm going to go today. I'm only going to be there for an hour, so I'm not going to carry any of that stuff. I will have a jacket, though. I don't have to have a snack because I'm only going to be there for, you know, an hour. And I will have some water because I carry water everywhere that I go. That gives me peace. And I'm sharing that with you because when you don't have the things that you would like to have with you, or if you don't, you know, consider how you want to plan your day, then that can kind of take a piece away from you. And, but, you have to be able to quickly substitute, because when you don't have any of the things that usually give you peace, that's when you can go within physically in your mind, and that's when you can have peace of mind. Peace in your mind, be able to go to that quiet place. So I try my best to be as versatile as possible and be able to do either way. But I did know that for me, Cynthia, just always loved to have a really nice, comfortable day. I needed to take the things that make me comfortable, will keep me from catching a cold, because I will not have peace if I have a cold. And if my body's achy because I've been in, you know, this extreme accident. And if you look around at some of the workers in the hospital, they have on long johns under their shirts and things, and they have on extra things because they have something we call common sense. They know they're working in a very, very chilly environment. And so they dress appropriately. They wear an extra layer of clothing. So there I was with my brother, who is actually my second brother. I have an older brother, then it's me, then it's my second brother, then I have two more brothers. And there we were, you know, he likes to crack a couple of jokes, and he has a very good sense of humor, and that was good. And he thanked me for being there. He also told me that I did not have to stay when he found out that this was going to be an all-day thing and that they would be keeping him for a couple of days. And he actually said, you know what, Cynthia, you really don't have to stay. And I looked at him. He said, you can go ahead and you can, you know, they're going to be operating on me. And so we got there at 6:30. I picked him up at 5:30 in the morning. It took almost just a half an hour to get there, but I just wanted to be prepared. There wasn't any traffic really outside, very, very little traffic at 5 in the morning. And I got him to our destination at 6. He was able to get in and see the doctors on time, like 6:20. He was just due there at 6:30. And he was able to, you know, be prepared. They were ready to go in for the operation at 7:30. They allowed me to come back into the room after they had prepared him. And in that room, they explained to me the things that we needed to do. And it gave me a chance to, and my sister Kim, I had her over the phone to do a prayer with them, give my brother a kiss on the forehead, hold his hand, and tell him that, you know, I was going to be there with him. And that's what the doctor said. Well, this is going to be, my brother says, oh, well, I should be out. Am I going home today? And they said, oh, no, this is a bypass operation. You're not going home today. We're going to keep you for at least 2 days. He says, oh, I didn't know that. So he says, well, Tessie, you know, you could go home and come back tonight. And I says, no, I packed my bags, packed my lunch, wore the extra clothes because I already knew that I was going to spend the entire day with you and that if they were going to keep you, that I wasn't planning on leaving until 7 o'clock at night. I ended up leaving like 7:45. That was my choice. That is what gave me peace. They gave me peace to be there with him, to know that he would know that I was there with him, and that if the doctors needed to consult with me, that I would be there so that it would not be stressful for me to be over the phone trying to, you know, answer questions and imagine, you know, what was going on. I didn't have to imagine because I was there. Just to give you a little bit of information about my brother, he has been supportive of me, I would say, you know, 99.9% of my life, of his life. And at one point, he was the baby brother because it was 8 years before my parents had any more children. They had my brother Raymond, myself, and then Terry. And each one of us is a year and a half to 2 years apart. And so Terry at one point was actually the baby. He was my baby brother at one point. And my brother and I remember, you know, we were like baby kids, you know, running around. He had a diaper that was, you know, like, you know, how that goes, y'all that know the baby kids thing. And my brother and I were sort of watching him. We were running from him because, you know, he had that loaded up with ammunition, what they call it, weapons of mass destruction pamper, right? Diaper back in those days, back in there. He's going to kill me when he hears the show. But it's so funny. You know, I was running from the baby kid who was, you know, armed with the diaper of the nightmare diaper. So when we got caught, my dad was like, what are you doing? Why didn't you bring him in the house? We're like, he doesn't snuggle. Yeah, well, you should have brought him in the house, right? Well, you know, I'm talking about all the way back in the early 60s. And so this is probably 1960, you know, and he was born 68, so this is 1959 or 1960, and that's way back in the day. So we've been in each other's life for a long time, and he is the brother. I remember one time he had a hanger in his eye. Can you believe that, you all? It was caught up in, you know, under the bottom of the eyelid, and I carefully took it out, and I'm only a year and a half older than him. And so they now call me the eye doctor, right, because I took a hanger. I took a hanger, a clothes hanger, out of his eye. And I was able to do that without scratching the eyeball or anything. But, you know, of course, God actually helped me do that, right? And I guess it was a way for God to know that I was a person of gentleness and a person of love and a person of peace. And I would always care about my brother. And so, you know, I did that. And we were very young when it happened. I'm telling you, we were like, probably 5, 6, or 7, under seven. We were under seven based on where we were living at. He's always supported me with my dance and theater. He was my light man. He would carry my lights. He would set up the lights. He carried my performing arts luggage with my costumes in it. And he was there. He told his friends, you know, my sister's into dance. And people, he came to my shows, you know, and, of course, he was either there helping or he was there. He never performed. He was not a performer. But he was my light man. He was my equipment guy. And when you all see the equipment, you'll fall out laughing because it was actually these two wooden things that my dad made. They were long pieces of wood, like a 2x4. They were at least, I say 2x4, but they were, because I know nothing about this stuff, but they were anyway, these planks of wood. And you could use, let's say you could use it for, people use it under their bed to keep the proper bed up, right? And so they were about 6 feet long, and they had another piece of wood at each end to brace it. and the wood was painted black, and I could put my lighting on it, and then I could, that was my footlight, stage light for all my performances, my in-the-house performances, my at-the-local-recreation-center performances, and for my city fair performances for the Baltimore City Fair back in 1970-something. So I'm telling you, you know, so I love my brother. I love him dearly. And, yes, we're brothers and sisters, and we have had our, you know, our moments. But our moments were kind of limited because my parents raised us to be loving and caring towards each other. But I remember one day he had disturbed my peace, and I guess I was about 12 years of age, and I had my brother by one, the wrist of his arm and by his ankle, and I was swinging him around. Because he wanted to, he was bothering me, you know, and we were wrestling or something, and he must have taken something from me. I don't know what it was. All I know is I had him in midair in the basement, swinging him around. He wanted me to let go, and my dad hears this ruckus. He comes down the basement, and he says, "Let that boy go. What's wrong with you, girl? Let that boy go." And what do you think the Cynthia did? Well, hey, I did what my parents told me to do. Right in midair, I let him go. And he went crashing to the wall. I know it sounds like a story, and he lay limp there. But anyway, let's make a long story short. Thank God he survived. He's okay. But anyway, he says, yeah, you tried to kill me, but no, I wasn't trying to kill him. I was just trying to make sure he knew who the boss was, right? Big sister was boss. But anyway, yeah, we laugh at that to this day. But thankfully, we brushed ourselves off. He was okay. He didn't hit his head or anything. And probably his knees, though, and his hands. But and my dad was like, have you lost your mind, you know. So my dad, you know, he told me to let him go. And he's looking at me like, you know, I'm doggone well. I didn't mean for you to let him go like that. But anyway, that's my brother. And, you know, coming out of Baltimore City, I have four brothers. And through the grace of God, we were able to survive the onslaught of the drug scene, were able to survive, you know, all the different things that trappings that are considered inner city trappings. I did live in the inner city. I think I lived in the worst part. Some parts are harder. Some people have it rougher. I did have close out parents, and I had four brothers. And like I said, one of them I spent the entire day with yesterday. Well, most of the day he was actually, you know, he spent 3 hours in an operation, which was a very serious operation. He had to have a vein removed from his lower right leg and transfer it as a bypass because that particular vein was closed and the blood just was not, was just, it was 97% closed and the blood was just trickling through, which means he wasn't getting, you know, oxygen, he wasn't getting blood, he wasn't getting what he needed to get to those limbs, his foot and his ankle and all that. And so I wanted to be there to bring him some comfort as a sister, as a loved one, and to represent my brother who was working, my sister who was here with my mom, who's 90. You know, one somebody in the family, I have another brother, he's a truck driver. He couldn't leave Texas to be there. So there I was with him, and I was there because I wanted to be there. And, you know, when he came out of surgery, he did say, sis, I'm glad that you are here. Thank you for being here with me. And so, you know, it's a good feeling. And, of course, in the hospital, I get to meet people. I met a nice lady named Janice, a nice lady named Angie. One was actually a nurse and an assistant in that area. Don't know her exact position. And the other lady was, she was a greeter, receptionist. She was responsible for intake and walking us to where we had to go, making sure I knew how to read the internet type of display they had up so we could track our loved ones. And they don't have the name up there. They just have, the patient's number. So that's good. And I could see where he was in the operation room and when he came out and was in recovery. And then they called me back so that I could go back and see him. And so I went on back to see him. at the recovery, where the doctor came out, which was wonderful. The doctor comes out and he says his brother did fine. He says everything looks good. It was a successful operation. Very nice doctor, by the way, Dr. Neuse, N-E-U-S-C. Very nice. He always, since I've met this doctor, which has only been three times, he makes sure that he talks with me, you know, he's introduced to me. He asks about us, you know, just really, you know, personable, good bedside manner doctor. Very, very warm and congenial, gentle doctor. And, you know, he shook my hand and he said everything should be fine. I'm glad you were here to be with him. He says it's really good when family members or friends or somebody can be here with the patient. And then he says you can go head on back, and they escorted me back. And, of course, the nurse was like, oh, your sister's so great, glad that you're here. He's sleeping right now, but go ahead and talk to him anyway. He can hear you. So I took his hand, and I told him I was there. And then he opened his eyes up, and he says, hey, sister. And I said, how are you feeling? He says, oh, I'm real sleepy. I feel worn out. You know, you're being operated on. You're not doing the operation, but I guess how they have to lift you and move you and what have you and the different drugs that they give you. It's, you know, the body was, he was just tired. And, of course, mentally tired, too, because he still had some worries. You know, you want to make sure you make it through your operation safely and everything turns out okay. So I'm just sharing it with you because it's a day in the life of another human being. That's what life is all about, a day in the life of another human being. It's not always the glitz and the glamour, what we do on stage. It's not always, you know, when we receive an award. It's not always, you know, we went somewhere that was beautiful and fabulous, you know, and because you all know I'm in travel. It's not always about this place that you were on, this beautiful beach. It's about the people in our lives and the people that we come across. It's about the decisions that we make. And it, again, it's a personal decision, and it's based on all the things going on in each one of our lives. There are people on this phone. There's no way that you would have been able to do that. You just wouldn't have been able to do it. And then, you know, it's another way for some of us to realize, wait a minute, maybe I could do that. Maybe I want to, or maybe I don't want to. It has to be a fit, you know. It's not the right fit for everyone. It's no sense in the person who was there for my brother being a person who's agitated, who really wants to be somewhere else. And there were people I saw came in who were like, oh, I got to be here for so-and-so, man. You know, I got 10,000 things to do today, and I don't feel like being there. You know, I mean, some people, that's who they had waiting for them, you know. And then there was the people who were worried, sick about their family members' health and condition, and just praying they're going to get through whatever they were going through. So I kind of observed a little bit of that. There weren't a lot of people in the waiting area for family because there were not a lot of people who came through there while I was there that stayed any significant amount of time. But it was quiet, and it was peaceful. I actually crocheted for a couple of hours. And I'm sharing this with you because so many times we go places and we don't know what to do. But if you have a hobby, if you're a writer, that might be a place that you could write. If you like to read, it could be a place that you could read while waiting for your loved one. In my case, I could crochet. If it was knitting, I could have knitted. Some things you can't do because they're too messy to do. Like my mosaic art, I can't take that because it's pieces that could hit the floor. I use glue, you know. So I couldn't do that, but I could crochet. And I could write notes for myself for things that I wanted to, that I'm actually doing. I could put some things in my journal. I could rewrite some affirmations. I like to copy my affirmations there. I was saying some of the mantras that I learned from Deepak and Oprah. One is called Shava Nava Bhava. That's not an easy one. Shava Nava Bhava. And it was about being able to get the most out of the experience that I was going through, taking that experience, whatever the experience was, and making it a profitable or a beneficial experience. Sorry, the word was beneficial experience. So if I was spending the day at the hospital with my brother, how could that be a beneficial experience for me and him? For him, that he had a successful operation. For me, so that he had a successful operation. And while I'm waiting, I could do something positive with my time. There were some things on TV that I hadn't seen in a while, so I looked at some of those things. And then I kind of, you know, faded. I kind of put some of them out of my mind when it was things that just weren't interesting to me. I caught a little bit of the Jews, a couple of things on there that I did think that was interesting. And that's a TV show. And so, you know, things like that. And then of course, there was something on the news. I kind of made a note of that. Those things that were non-peaceful things, I kind of made a note of, okay, you know, this happened. So just, you know, paying attention to those different things. Again, being prepared. I know that there's some people on the phone that are diabetic. I want to address you for a moment. And I have come across a lot of people, and some of you are my friends. You know who you are. And I just wanted to just give you a suggestion and have you just think about, you know, this thing. You're out and you're out and about for the day, and you know your situation, your health situation. And quite often I've been with people who are like, oh, my God, I've got to stop. I don't have anything to eat, and I'm feeling like X, Y, Z. I'm feeling drained. I feel like I'm about to have an attack. I got to stop. It's this panicky thing that people go through. They could be on 695 or 95. 95 is interstate. And they may be in heavy traffic, maybe stuck in traffic, and they don't have a piece of candy or a sip of juice. I think usually it's a piece of candy for most people. And I just want to just, Jerry, if you don't mind, if I can have permission to give a suggestion, and that is prepare. Take and go out to Rite Aid or Walmart or look online to do your Sarah 365 shopping mall, or shop to one of the vendors that's in David Murphy's African American newspaper, and you get more information from me on that. And consciously look for where you can purchase the candy, the cough drop, the piece of candy or fruit, whatever. It is, and I don't know what it is. You know what you're supposed to take to get you your sugar level back to where it is. Let's be more proactive. Before we go to bed at night, let's pack a little snack or lunch for those people who have diabetes. Be prepared. Keep it with you wherever you're going. Have something, those little pack things, you can put them around your waist. It's a little pocketbook kind of a thing. I say pocketbook. It's a little bag that you can wrap around your waist. And this must be a little bit more prepared, because I'm saying this because you're like all over the place and upset, and you're upsetting everyone else because no one wants you to go into a diabetic coma or have any kind of relapse because you don't have the things that you need. And we are all in our 40s and 50s and 60s, and at this point, we should know what to do. Okay, now if you're new to diabetic and you're like, this is new for you, then you got to find out what it is you need to take, if it's small piece of candy. And most people tell me, all I need is like a bite or two. Well, for crying out loud, I do talk like this, for crying out loud, that's not going to take up that much space in your pocketbook or your pocket. Put it in your pocket and have it with you. And let's just try to stop the whole world from having to be decapopulated, full of confusion and everything, and worrying, and breaking up everybody's teeth for a small piece of candy that's going to take up like 2 inches of space in your pocketbook, probably 1 inch in either direction. The diameter is one by one. You know what I'm saying? And I'm really, for real, for real. And the same thing with water. Everybody just about, I know in America anyway, pretty much, except for Flint, Michigan, they definitely have to have their water sent in, and we've got to keep praying for them. And that is, get yourself a small container of water and always have water with you. And they have the water carrying bags. I have that. I have one. I have it everywhere. People look at me real strange, like, what, why is she on? What's that thing she got? I keep water with me because you never know when you get choked. You never know when your throat gets dry. You never know when you're going to be in a situation stuck in traffic and you can't drink any water for an hour. And you really need, you feel like you need some. You're not going to die in an hour, right, without any water, unless it's your last hour. You've gone without it for a week, right? Well, for 3 days or whatever. I don't know how many days you can go without water for sure. I'll look that up. But I'm just saying, let us be prepared so that you give yourself peace and the people around you. If you have children, oh, please, can you give them some peace by carrying in your carry bag the same idea of the carry bag you would. I know most normal families are, you know, growing up in the cities or even in the country or whatever. You have the baby bag. Maybe the baby's not a baby anymore, but in the baby bag, you should have had your milk. You should have had formula, or you should have had baby food, if you know, or some small fruit, something for that baby, you know, nourishing. You should have had, you know, Pampers or diapers, depending on what era we're talking about, blanket, comfort thing for the baby. But now we're talking children who may need to be occupied and things like that, and water. You should always have water and juice. If you need to, you know, put it, something on ice if you have to. Whatever it is you have to do, I don't know, whatever it is you have to do. It needs to be room temperature. Do what you have to do. But the point I'm trying to make is that preparing can give you peace, can give your lovely, wonderful child peace. And it also is a loving gesture that you're thinking of someone else. So we've covered thinking about ourselves, because then we've got our water and we've got our whatever we need. Those people who are diabetic, whatever you need, you've got it, right? So you're good to go. For those of us who are just out and about, and I'm trying to make sure I eat the right thing, so I always carry a banana or a mango or something that I can eat, some nuts of some sort. And I always have have water always, but maybe also a fresh juice of some sort, so that I'm prepared. I carried my own sandwich. I had to build a sandwich, but I had everything I needed for my sandwich. I had my bread. I had my sliced turkey, fresh turkey. I just still eat some meat, so I had turkey. And I had my lettuce, and I had my tomatoes with some cayenne pepper already sprinkled on it. And yes, I had mayonnaise on my sandwich, but I had it. I had what makes me happy, what gives me peace, instead of having to spend extra money that I did not wish or desire to spend yesterday, although I've been to the hospital with people and I have bought Subway sandwiches and plug in for Subway, right? Or I have bought whatever they have at their cafeteria. Some of these cafeterias are pretty good, by the way. So I have had that. I always make sure I have me a nice salad, okay, sometimes a fruit salad. But I have what I need. And when you have what you need, when you are able to have something that you need, then you can give yourself peace. These are things that you're doing to give yourself comfort and give yourself peace. Maybe there's a small book. Some people could be a small Bible, a small book of positive information. Just do what you need to do to be comfortable. We're out and about, you know, wear comfortable clothing, wear comfortable shoes. Ladies, you know, you've got the stilettos on, and then you've got, you know, foot problem, leg problem, back problem. Hey, how about switching it up a little bit and being for real, comfortable, neat and comfortable? Yeah, presentable. And what is that? Your clothes, so you're presentable. Now, maybe some people in your circle cannot appreciate the fact that you've got on a flat shoe, you know. But at the end of your life, at the end of 10 to 15 years, it's not affecting their body. It's affecting yours. So I'm just going to say, if you're out there messing up your pelvic area, if you're out there causing these ugly bunions and things in your foot, you know, whatever these things are in our toes that are going the wrong way because you got these shoes that are ridiculous, then we're not giving ourselves peace. We're expecting to have peace and our feet hurt. seriously, I'll see her because we're wearing shoes that somebody made that are not comfortable. And some of you paid, you know, $125 for a pair of uncomfortable shoes. Hey, hello. This affects your peace. And when your peace is not peaceful, then you usually either hide it, or you're making faces, or you're unhappy, and sometimes it spills out to people around you. So how about having some feet that don't hurt and see how happy you'll be and how much peace you'll have? Yeah, I thought I'd put that one in there. Again, this is the Jasaris Love Show. I am Cynthia Jahi of the Jasaris Love, and I just love love and peace, gentleness and harmony, and I believe that if we could just work a little harder and be kinder. And does it mean that I'm always as kind as I should be? No, I am a work in progress. You can believe that one. Ask my husband. No, don't ask him. But I'm not that horrible, but I'm a human, and I have to pull myself in, reel myself in a lot, you know. But I'm sharing it with you. Have your water and have what you need if you're diabetic. And whatever it is that you need, have your sunglasses on. It's summer. Have your sunscreen. Have what you need so that you don't lead into other problems and other situations. That's what I'm saying. Have what you need for the children. Think about the children so that they have what they need. I know a lot of them have these handheld games, and that's really making everybody happy. And I'm going to say, if you're riding in a car, that could be good. If you're sitting in a meeting, your child may need to be occupied. If you're able to take it a step further and have them read some really good books, that can be really productive, and especially things that are educational. Most children, there's so much they don't know about plants and animals and interactions and some really good stories, adventure stories about maybe an animal that's trying to find its way back home. I mean, it's just so many things. Coming up as a child, I had the library in the Walbrook Junction area of Baltimore City. I would walk all the way uphill to the library, and as I think I've told you in the past, I read all of the Mary Poppins collection. I read everything with Dr. Doolittle. I guess you could say I was a child of fantasy, and I read all the fairy tales, Aesop fables, from around the world. So I had that whole part of the library pretty much in lockdown. And I read, you know, other stories of various kinds, a lot of adventure stories. My brother used to love to read. My brother Raymond loved westerns, and he loved stuff about science. So I would read. Eventually, I started reading about Wyatt Earp and those, the Wild Wild West, all those different stories, because he was reading them, and I got interested in what he was reading, too. The library is a place of peace. It's a quiet place in most places, and you can sit and go into an entire different world. It also is a place where you can get educated and just learn so much. So, you know, make sure that the children have something to read and that you are evoking peace. You know, you're talking to your 12-year-old, you're talking to your 16-year-old. How about being more peaceful? Why are so many adults who are in their 40s and 50s and 20s and 30s, their 60s and 70s, yelling and cursing at young people, even if the young person didn't do what they were supposed to do the right way? Why are we so out of control and so mean? Yeah, I said it, out of control. Pull yourself together and get yourself in control. You're the older person. Get a hold of things. Pull it together. Use that brain that you've had on your shoulders way longer than that 20-year-old has. You've been on the planet for 40 years, and the best you can do is curse someone out. Think about that for a minute. The best you can do is just be mean, when the truth of the matter is you're better than that. Because you have the capacity to think deeper. And if you find yourself saying, I can't do anything but curse someone out. I can't do anything but you know, say something mean, then now there's a chance for you to say, wow, well, why am I like that? You could choose to stay there and say to yourself, well, just take it or leave it, that's the way I am. And I know that the world will be consisted of people who will feel that way. But if I can reach a few more people and say, then that's a good time for you to put on some meditation music and calm yourself down. Put on some YouTube video with people who are going to talk about peace and love, put on Soulful Sundays with Oprah. I will be doing a YouTube program myself with Movements Unlimited, motivational movement and motivation, inspirational words and thoughts. That's coming soon on a YouTube station near you. And I'm looking forward to it. Again, this is the Jasari's Love Show. I'm Cynthia Jahi. This is part of the Home Base Business 101 created by Sitali Jahi. Look for him, listen out for him, most Sundays at 9 o'clock. And you can also pull up Home Base Business 101 in the archives and go listen to some of the things that he's shared through the years that he's been doing that. Also on Mondays at 3 o'clock, we have Miss Victoria Falk out of New York. She's doing a travel component. Each of us have our own travel business, and she will be sharing with you her travel adventures. Sitali will be sharing what he does with taxes, nonprofit, and travel also. If you have a tax situation, I don't care who you are, if you're the sound of my voice, please, you know, give him a call, and he'll put that number out there. Or text him that you need assistance. If you have a home-based business or if you don't have a business, you definitely, if you do not have a home-based business, you definitely need to call Baba Jahi. Look him up on Facebook, Baba, B-A-B-A, Jahi, J-A-H-I, and say, look, I need help with my taxes. If you are working on a nonprofit, again, Baba Jahi, get help from him. He can help you get that nonprofit off the ground and find out whether or not it's truly what you need to be doing. Also, for myself, my travel business is www.myvoitex, that's a V as in Barry, V-O-R-T-E-X, 365.com/M as the movement, U as an unlimited group. G-R-O-U-P, group, with a T on the end, G-R-O-U-P. If you want to contact me about business or about peace and understanding, I am on Facebook under Cynthia, C-Y-N-T-H-I-A, I'm sorry, Jahi, J-A-H-I. I'll be working on my page, improving it. I'm learning more about how to do Facebook better after being on it like forever, not understanding Facebook. But, again, I am a work in progress, and that's one of the things that some of the things we wanted to share. Again, if you need to text me, you can text me at 252-406-0774 if you have a question, if you have a topic that you would hope that I might discuss. On my show, I am not debating anyone. However, I will try to bring forth a lot of people with various opinions or teeth, especially those things that I find, in my opinion, that are harmonious, that are uplifting, that will help people find peace, that will do things that are loving and kind. We have a lot of other platforms with people who may have derogatory or negative or different other points of view, people who are more pro-violent, and you have definitely have the right to go to those channels and to those people to, if that is the direction that you prefer to go in. But if you're listening to the Jasari's Love Show, the title itself says love, you know. And Jasari means audacious, bold love. So I'm talking about a really bold love, loving and caring. And that's why it was very easy for me to spend the day yesterday with my brother Terry, because I have a deep love. I care about my brothers, and I care about my sister. I have one sister. I care about my mom. She's 90. I cared about my dad, and I still care about him. He left us, and as far as he departed from this realm of the earth back in 1989, way too early for the fantastic artist and father and husband that he was, just this awesome human being. Very, very loving and kind. And I wouldn't trade him for a father no kind of way. Oh, my goodness. And so this is, you know, what I want to share with you. So when you have that moment to spend with someone, a friend that's going through something, when you have or you can plan or you can foresee, or when you find yourself willing to take the time out for another human being, then please do it. And Og Mandingo, I'm on this one chapter, and it talks about, I will live this day as if it is my last. And I thought about yesterday, because when my brother went to this operation, it could have been his last. And I said that I, Cynthia, Desiree's love, is going to live this day as if it is my last. And I wanted to spend that day with me, with my brother, because it could have been my last day. I could have very well been sitting up there and just died. You know, you just never know. I wasn't going through an operation, but for reasons unknown, things happen, right? So I'm taking it to that extreme. So I, for myself, spent that day as if it was my last, because if it was my last, then my brother could say, wow, on her last day, she spent it with me. And that, to me, would have been a joyful thing to have done. So think about, as you spend each day, what do you do to spend it as if it is your last? What are you doing so that you have a lasting impression on someone? What is it that you're doing that you gave somebody this, so much joy that last day that you existed on the planet? Were you yelling and screaming and making someone miserable? Were you crying and shouting? Or were you praising? Were you gently wiping a tear from someone? Were you gently putting a Band-Aid on a child's knee and telling them you're going to be okay? Were you gently walking with your children or your nieces and nephews down the street, holding someone's hand so they could cross the street safely? Were you carefully opening the door and holding it for the next person? Were you using integrity in your business and signing up people who you know they understood what it is that you were doing? Or were you just going after the money because you're going to make a nice fat check? You know, what is your legacy? Is that person going to be looking for you or trying to call you on the phone to figure out, well, how do I use what it is that you sold me? Really? How are you living your life? Your last day, each day is the first day and the last day, all in the same. Are you bringing joy? Are you bringing sweetness? Are you holding that door for someone? Are you carrying a bag to all the men out there? Are you taking a moment to say, you know, excuse me, let me carry that for you? Are you planning ahead of time when you know that the family's gone out and got groceries, putting on your shoes and you're saying, it's okay, the ladies of the house are coming back at a certain time. Am I dressed and ready so that I can open the door for them and go to the car, because I'm a man, I'm a healthy man. Am I going to the car and I'm helping them with the groceries? These teenage boys and the mothers, are you sending them out to help with the groceries? Are you teaching them the things that are helpful? Are they helping to make sure the trash goes out when it's supposed to go out? Are you making sure the bathroom is clean so the next person can use it? You know, live this day as if it is your last does not mean that you're going scuba diving or hang gliding. How about the everyday thing that you do? If you do them with joy and love and you're living the day as if it is your last, then the last person that saw you for that day, or the people that saw you that day, they can say, you know what? That person was just always curious. That person was always cheerful. That person was there for me when I was down. That person helped reduce my taxes by $300,000. That person helped reduce my taxes so that I didn't owe any money. That person listened to what I had to say, read through my papers, and found the answer. That person read through where the gas electric company was overcharging me and was able to correct that. That person took the time out to help me. That person took the time out to sit with me quietly. I didn't really want them to say anything, and I didn't know what to say, but they were there for me. What are you doing? How are you living your day as if it was your last? It's your choice. It's your day. This is Cynthia Jahi of the Georgia Stars Love Show, wishing you the best of everything, wishing you peace, and wishing you love. Tune in next week and every week. I'm going to do my best to be here at 12 noon, and I do believe this is supposed to be going until 1. If I've gone over, well, I guess you really can't hear me. Okay, and my husband will let me know. Why were you did not complete your thought? Because your show was over in 45 minutes. But I think he's got it set for an hour. I'm not totally sure. Okay. Peace and blessings from Cynthia Jahi of the Jasari's Love Show. Look out for Baba Jahi, Home Day Fitness 101, Sunday at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. All our shows are Eastern Standard Time. Do you have the right time? Victoria Falk, Mondays at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Cynthia Jahi, Fridays, 12 o'clock noon. Okay, Eastern Standard Time.